What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United XFL Podcast. So welcome to the second episode of the XFL Podcast of the Dome Patrol United, and this time you're listening to Jeff, that's me, Scott,
that's Hola. You.
And Ash from the UK. Ash, uh-huh. I think this is the first time that you've been separated from your UK brethren.
I know.
What's it like to be? What's it like to? This is a weird combination of talent that we've ever had on the show.
it is, because usually Ben opens up with a sheep joke, and I haven't had a sheep joke yet, so it's quite. It's quite.
Oh, so you want one?
No, do I bollocks? Okay.
The sheep shagger himself.
There we go. Now I feel at home.
And Scott, man of the people.
I'm the people's champ. Right.
Yeah, there can only be three, but which three you get is always going to...
It's a roll of the dice.
Right. We all drew the short
straw. We're like a bag of rebels. You don't know which one you're going to get.
Right. That's the fun part about the Dome Patrol United.
Yeah.
The new Dome Patrol. Anyway, okay, so the XFL played its second week. Ash, you watched most of the games, if not all of them, or at least three of them, right?
I did.
And then I caught, actually, the one you didn't was the one I watched the most of. And then, Scott, you watched none of it, but this is like...
No, I did catch some of it. I caught some of both the Houston and the Dallas game. Some of it.
Houston, Dallas, okay. Because I was going to say, once again, Scott, who's the biggest proponent of the XFL since the beginning of time, has watched the least of the XFL.
Well, it's funny because, like, just these past two weekends have been, timing-wise, just, like, the worst possible timing, like, for them mm-hmm. to start, at least for me. This weekend, I was in Mobile at a dance competition all day for my daughters, and I don't even know what the hell I was doing last weekend, but I couldn't watch last weekend either. No, not jerking off.
It's a long time. All right, so, Ash, observations... From like, what would you say are there any differences between week one and week two? Are you seeing an improvement? Are you seeing teams settle in? Are you seeing maybe certain teams emerge as true front runners?
The front runners I would pick so far would be the DC Defenders and the Houston Roughnecks.
Right, I would agree.
Watching the first game with the Defenders against the Guardians. When we saw the Guardians play in week one, I think the Vipers complimented them too much, because we looked at week one of the Guardians and we thought, okay, you know, they got a team going here, okay, fair enough. But the Defenders shut them out. It's easy as that. And it's like, okay, the Defenders are a legitimate team and the Guardians not as good as we think they are, because obviously they got shut out. And of course, you know, McGloin was just complete ass. Complete and utter ass.
And then you see Tampa shit the bed again.
Yep, again.
Which makes sense why the Guardians would have looked good in week one.
Yeah. But it's like, obviously, with Cardale Jones as well, he is a legitimate quarterback for this team. You know, he is carrying them really well. So I can see it being a Defenders Roughnecks final game. You know, okay. They play each other in week seven, so that's already marked on my calendar, ready for the next game to, you know, be excited about.
If funny.
You can't see it, Jess playing with his pussy.
It's funny because, you know, I'm on the DC train and I have not watched one DC game yet.
That might be why you don't want to introduce.
Maybe so. I don't want to introduce Chris. I'll probably watch and they'll probably lose. And I picked them because they, you know, had the most LSU players. And I think they just signed another LSU player this past week, a defensive guy, I want to say Anthony Johnson.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. But speaking of Cardale Jones, he hasn't lost a game in college, or if you want to count the XFL as pros. So he's like 13-0 or whatever. So he hasn't lost a game yet. So we hope to keep that streak alive.
Okay. So the best two quarterbacks are Jones for the DC Defenders and Walker for Houston Roughnecks as well. I mean, yeah, so it's kind of a situation where the teams that are winning are because of their quarterbacks, or is it we're looking at complete teams?
I would say more complete teams, but you know, obviously, you know, you need a good quarterback, and you know, the DC Defenders and the Roughnecks have both got it.
Okay.
You know, they haven't got a pattern. I don't know if you've seen it, but at halftime with McGloin was talking to one of the ESPN reporters, and he was basically calling out the offensive coordinator saying they need to do better with play calling. And it was just basically a massive, you know, gut punch to the offensive coordinator saying, listen, I'm not playing bad. It's your play calling.
Oh, all right. See, I like that. See, another good thing about the XFL is the sideline interviews.
Yeah.
Because you get the real-time game reaction. They also, I think, what was it, the LA Wildcats-Dallas game? Todd Gurley was there. They talked to him a little bit on the sideline.
And Melvin Gordon was there, too.
Yeah. Gurley was there supporting the Wildcats quarterback who they played together.
The wide receiver.
Or wide receiver, that's right. But in any case, so the L.A. last week lost. L.A. lost to Dallas this week. I would put Dallas, St. Louis in like that. They're your second tier to me.
Yeah.
If you're going to put the D.C. Defenders and Houston Roughnecks 1 and 2, then I would throw Dallas, St. Louis.
Yeah.
And maybe you throw the Guardians in that next tier, the tier 3, which would be what?
The bottom tier.
Guardians and Seattle. Or I'd put Seattle above the Guardians.
I would put Seattle against the Guardians, yeah.
Yeah, then Guardians, and then finally Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, Tampa's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, of course, tradition. The only way Tampa would not be the worst is if they had an XFL team from Atlanta.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Because then Atlanta would be the worst. All right.
Be the worst.
So, did you see the pass play of Houston's quarterback, Walker, when he did the little sidearm toss?
That was unbelievable.
Beautiful catch. I mean, so anybody who's going to argue that the XFL is going to have, like, lesser talent, maybe it is lesser talent, but you're still going to get some good plays. You're still going to get a lot of highlights. There's a lot of highlights in that game. The interceptions, maybe that's a good thing about lesser talent, is you're going to see more interceptions because you're going to see more mistakes.
Yeah. Right. Well, I've seen on Twitter, on Facebook, and others, on all XFL pages saying about, poor quarterback play. Are they such poor quarterback play? But what I keep telling people is they've only had two games of competitive, they've only had two competitive games. And, not everybody learned to wipe their ass properly. You had to have a few goes at that before you got it right. Do you know what I mean? So, just give it time. Just give it time. I'm a firm believer in I will, give everything a chance before I shoot it down.
Yeah. Well, being a Saints fan, I mean, we know week one is usually a throwaway.
Yeah.
Because we got to get into game-ready shape. So, that's week one there. So, that's pro, like, NFL level stuff, not to mention the four preseason games before that.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, they're kind of still in their preseason.
Yeah. But of course, they don't have preseason. They just got thrown into the regular season,
which we love.
And, it's people are too, in this day and age, people are too quick to shoot down a new idea. They're not ready to embrace change. And
well, if it doesn't like rock their world, they're done with it, right? I mean, it's got to come out being a million dollar. It's got to be the most amazing thing I've ever seen because it's the XFL and it's going to replace the NFL. They never said that they were there to replace the NFL. They never said they were there to be the best talent on the field. They said, we are not ready to finish football. We love the game and we feel like we should be able to watch competitive football year round.
Well, of course
it is. They just want to get their own little niche, market, and they're not trying to compete with the NFL for sure. And, I kind of like their formats, kind of like you were saying with the on-field interviews, you get the raw stuff, but you also get, like, it doesn't seem like the players are afraid to talk. Like, they are, we're in the NFL, you'd be afraid to get fined if you said the wrong thing. In the XFL, they don't care. They'll say whatever they want.
They're kind of encouraged.
Yeah, you know, so it's kind of good. You know, I like it that way. It's not everybody's running around scared of the commissioner or scared of what's going to happen to them if they, you know, kind of speak out. Like kind of like that guy calling his offensive coordinator. Now, I'm sure he'll have to deal with his offensive coordinator later, but, you know, he's not scared of really getting fined by the league or the team or anything like that, you know, so kind of raw and filtered.
Well, that's it, because obviously when they do these, you know, the sideline interviews, it's raw emotion. It's not staged, it's not scripted, it's raw emotion. So when you've got a callback to throw either a pick six off, you know, or running back fumbles a ball, obviously they don't want to talk about it, but you can see it that when they do talk about it, it's real emotion saying, listen, I screwed up and I need to play better. And that is what I really do like about the XFL is just the live emotion of somebody where they scored touchdown, fumble, pick six, and that what I really do enjoy. And if NFL does take anything away from it, that would be awesome.
And then that overall transparency, just, you know, with the refs talking things out, hearing the plays being called in, hearing the quarterbacks, you know, at the line pointing out. I mean, you can pick some of that up, you know, during a game of NFL, but as far as like the refs and stuff, just seeing the transparency. And I think from a PR standpoint, it's awesome. And I think it's something the NFL could
see that's
benefit from.
They need to, I doubt that they will, because I really believe the NFL, that's their biggest thing they want to protect, is they don't want you to hear what's going on. But to me, I have more forgiveness and patience with the officiating of the XFL. I don't mind that you get it wrong. You're human. You're going to get stuff wrong. And the XFL embraces that. And even yesterday during the Houston game, they're about to run the play, and the guy in the booth, the official in the booth, is like, stop, 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 stop. And he's like, tell him, stop the game. And what's going on? I mean, as a fan, imagine being there. You don't hear that part. You're like, wait, what's going on? But watching it, you're seeing them fix a wrong, which is all you ever wanted from the NFL. Don't let the game continue on an egregious error.
The NFL tries to act like they're infallible and they do nothing wrong. And you can tell it by they don't let you interview the officials after the game. You know, you get a statement from the head of the officials and it's a bland, you know, statement, and
it's 100% of the time it's defending the NFL's position.
Right. It's the league line, you know, it's the bullshit, you know, well, this is why we did it, blah, 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 bullshit, you know, whereas the transparency in XFL, you see them discussing it. You can kind of understand, you know, they're explaining their logic as to what they're seeing, you know, well, we can't do this because I see this here, this here, this here. You know, it's just the transparency is really good.
Mm-hmm. The other thing as well, going to the Renegades LA game, it was a booth review, and you know there were so many people looking at the screen to try and get it right. And the one guy said, "Was that the 10-yard line?" And it was one of the soccer lines. I think it's like the 18-yard box. And he said, "No, that's not. That's the soccer line. That's the 10-yard line." So you've got other people, you know, trying to get the right decision. They say, that's where the ball gets spotted. It was supposed to be spotted on the 8-yard line. And I tell you what, it's just great. I absolutely adore it. It's great.
Right. Being able to hear them discuss, because that's the other thing in the NFL, you'd watch the officials in their little huddle, and the joke was always they're trying to decide what to do. But a lot of times what I'm seeing from the XFL is it's really more getting on the same page about what to do, not what's the call going to be, but more, okay, guys, it's going to be first down, it's going to be this, we're going to put the ball over there. Like, they're all, it's their own little huddle, if you will. And this guy, the white hat's getting the call from the booth, who's telling him, okay, put the ball on the 5-yard line. Why? Because I'm looking at it on digital video, which is a lot more accurate than your eyeballs and your memory.
It's harder to spot a ball in live play than it is on a replay.
Yes, you're looking at way too many things. And so the eye in the sky is a good thing in this case. I can see the NFL adopting some, but they certainly are not going to put microphones and let it be broadcast on TV.
Oh, God,
I do not see them doing that. Speaking of microphones and broadcasting things on TV, I am still loving even more seeing the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator or head coach, whoever, call the plays into the helmets of the players. And – And there was one point in one of the games yesterday where you were hearing both coordinators from each team at the same time. So mm-hmm. it's almost like I'm feel like I'm in like the war room of a war or something. Like, and you hear it's like you can kind of choose whose voice you're going to listen to, but you can hear them both calling at the same time. I mean, it's pretty neat. It's pretty it's riveting, is what it is.
It's a breath of fresh air. That's what it is. And it's you know, I thought that, you know, this kind of thing would you know, it was only someone to pull us into the XFL, but good to see that they're carrying it on throughout the weeks and weeks and weeks. And again, it's just so breathtaking and such a revolutionary thing to do. And yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for week three.
Why is it working this time around? Because, I mean, it was revolutionary the first time they tried to do it. What's different? Is it society's ready for it, maybe, and they weren't before?
I think with the XFL of old, it was rushed. I honestly think it was rushed. Whereas when Vince McMahon announced it in 2018, they had 2 years to get it right. They learned from their mistakes and say, right, let's do it this way. Let's, you know, learn from the past mistakes and, you know, let's try and get it right. Yes, society wants all year round football, like you said, Jeff. And well, yeah, it's a combination of the two, really. It's what they've learned from 2001.
And what they learned from the AAF.
Maybe. AAF is just calling.
Well, what did you learn? I mean, to me, besides accessibility, mm-hmm. you know, every single XFL game is on TV. Which they didn't do the first time around, right? They would give you like one game on Sunday night or something. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah,
I think to the production value of it, kind of like putting a professional face on it where you have the sideline reporters that you know, running around trying to get interviews. You've got the first one seemed more like an entertainment thing than a sport thing, kind of like a wrestling, but with football. I mean, if you look at anything from – they had the names on – you know, whatever name you want on the back of the jersey, the He Hate Me. The kickoff, they put a ball down and two guys sprinted, you know, however many yards, and whoever got the football was the team that got the possession first. I mean, that was their kickoff, you know. The players were encouraged to
suplex one another.
To date cheerleaders and crap like that. And, you know, they were – going into the stands, interviewing fans and stuff like that. It was just, you know, it was just hokey stuff. You know, it was just more, like I said, entertainment stuff than anything.
I think
it was football.
Yeah, I think one of the other reasons is that with the NFL over here, it's got more and more popular, you know, both playing and watching it. You know, XFL saying, well, hang on a minute, they've got a market over there all around the world, so maybe we need to take a slice of that as well. And of course, you know, a lot of people in the UK are watching the XFL, myself included. And, you know, they've got a right market now because a lot of other countries are enjoying American football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, bringing it back to football. So have you learned any, besides Cordell Jones and P.J. Walker, have you learned any players where, you know, like, again, you have certain players in the NFL that you're going to watch the game because you just can't live without watching this guy play. Are there any XFL players that you're excited to see what they're going to do next? I mean, do you know who the running back for any team is? Can you name a running back in the XFL right now?
I saw Artis Payne running the other day for, I think it was Dallas or Houston. He was in the NFL for a while. Other than him, that's the only name I can think of off the top of my head. I know the Defenders have an LSU running back. His name I can't think of off the top of my head. But that'd be the only reason why I would know who he is, because he played for LSU. I can't really think of anybody else, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And they'll get there, and kind of like we were talking about where – on-field play will get better. You know, they didn't have a preseason. You know, some of these guys haven't played football probably in a year or two, you know, because they've been, at least not in a game setting, you know, practicing or whatever. So they're going to get better with time, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the for me, like, the next step the XFL needs to take through coverage. You know, I want to see SportsCenter do, you know, Inside the XFL or something. You know, I want to see a coverage show that actually features the players or the plays and the teams for what they've done. And, you know, even if they do, and maybe they do and I just don't catch it, a segment, you know, where you're doing your you know, you usually do, like, here's all the baseball plays of the day. Here's all your basketball players of the day. Right. Where's the XFL plays of the day? Not include XFL in the top 10 sports plays of the day, but do all the XFL plays of the day. Or recap. It's only four freaking games. I mean, come on. Or two games a day. Like, recap the games.
I think they'll get there. I think after seeing the AAF fold the way it did, I think people are a little hesitant to put as much into it right now, but I think as they see it become more and more successful, that you'll get that. Because I mean, even if you look, I don't recall really seeing any kind of CFL stuff on SportsCenter or anything like that.
Well, but that's because it's the CFL.
I know, but
they got the CFL over here. It's on the same channel that the XFL is, but the CFL is just absolute ass. No one watches the CFL. It's worse than Division III college football. It's complete ass.
Okay. So speaking, all right. So then you talk about, Scott, the popularity, and they're waiting to see if the people are still interested in the following weeks and whatnot. I then pulling up here the numbers for week two, grand total 76,285 fans. That's compared to 69,800 in week one. So it is an increase.
So that's attendance you're talking about?
Yeah, of fans that attended each game. So basically, week one, every game, all four games had, in, you know, anywhere between 17,000 to 18,000 people. And week two, let's see, the Houston game had 17, LA had 15,000, the lowest attendance, of course, as is tradition.
Now, yeah,
Seattle,
I mean, LA
had 30,000 and DC had 15. I'm rounding these numbers for
right. Conversation. I saw somebody was saying on Twitter that, you know, that the XFL is kind of being judged differently because, I mean, in LA, you had 15,000 fans there where the NFL team
has, you know, 12,000.
Right. Well, wasn't pulling much more. You know, it's a 27,000 seat stadium or something, and they weren't filling it then, you know. So, and the TV ratings have been really good. I know in St. Louis, they had the St. Louis Blues hockey team and the XFL team both on TV at the same time. And the XFL had way more viewers, like not even close to as many, you know, way more viewers than the hockey game did.
Well, yeah. Well, but the thing is, okay, so breaking the attendance down, and I'm saying the question isn't how many they can get. The question right now, the question is, can they improve, can, like, sell more seats each week? Like, can they get butts in the seats? Are you playing well enough? Are you getting good? Is the league good enough that people are going to buy tickets and go to the games? Okay, so the week one, every team was 17,000 something. So let's look at Seattle week two, their first home game, 30,000 people. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they won. So they've got the highest attendance of the whole thing. Houston, their first week, 17,000. But LA and DC, who both had home games the week before, dropped. So LA, the first week, had 17,800. The second week, 14,900. Now, I get it. Your team sucks. You don't want to go, and there's so many other things that you can do with your life. But DC is winning week one, 17,000. Week two, 15,000. They lost 2,000 people. And maybe it was the snake cup, the cup snake. Did y'all see that thing on Twitter?
No.
That was so awesome. They had, like, so they was the beer that comes in the plastic cup, and you drink your beer.
Oh,
and you
yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
And it snaked all the way up, like, 15 rows or something.
I did see that.
And the coach dubbed their fan base the 12th pack.
You know, I don't know what's going on in DC. Maybe they had something going on. I don't know. You never know. I mean, they could have something. I have no idea.
Yeah, but I expect that if they win in week three, or whatever their next home game is, they've got to break 20,000.
Yeah, I would think so. And kind of building on the on-field play as far as getting people in stands, I think they'll, as they get further along, year two, year three, whatever, I think they'll get better talent in the league itself just because they're seeing that it's sustainable, you know, and that they might be kind of gun shy from the AAF, you know, really think so. And you could start getting players in college that maybe want to go pro, make some money, or they get you know, kicked off their college team and they have to sit out.
Or what if you get an NFL guy who's forced into retirement because maybe nobody believes in him, but he's not ready to quit? You know, play your 12th year or your 13th year in the XFL. I would.
Yeah,
I would too. You're a big name. You can make some money. And keep playing. That's why, you know, we look at Kaepernick, you know, he could have gone there probably and played if he wanted to, but he's about the money. He's about the whatever. He's not about playing football. He says he's about playing football, but if he's about playing football, he'd be playing football.
Well, that was it. With Kaepernick, I did see a tweet and an article written up the fact that he was interested in playing in the XFL, but he wanted too much money.
Yeah,
he wants way too much money, and you know that's why he wasn't, you know, playing.
And he got in his situation. Exactly. This is exactly what it is.
Well, yeah, the other thing is if he goes and plays in the XFL, what we don't know is how much stuff underneath his fight with the NFL. I mean, who's to say that if he goes and plays football for the XFL, I don't even know if he has some litigation with the NFL still going on or anything like that. But what if he plays for that all that gets dropped? You know, there's so many reasons why he might not want to play in the XFL. We don't know enough about the situation. All we can do is speculate. But there's a few other quarterbacks that I thought maybe the XFL even passed on. That there were some players that they didn't want to touch. Like they would rather go with Cardale Jones than a player that the NFL passed on as well. And some of that has to do with, I mean, like, would you take Jamarcus Russell as your quarterback? Knowing what you know about him? I mean, he's raw talent, but the guy doesn't study his playbook. You kind of would, wouldn't you?
Now, this is a double-edged sword answer because obviously he was an LSU quarterback, and it was a shame, you know, that he was, or he's been branded as one of the biggest busts next to Ryan Leaf in the NFL. But that's just purely down to him and his laziness and not reading the playbook. Would I like to see him in the XFL? I wouldn't say no.
I mean, not anymore. He's, you know, so many years out of practice and overweight. But I'm saying, like, would you like to see if he were the year, if it were the year after he was cut by the Raiders? You know, yeah, I'd throw him a chance, I guess. I don't know. I don't think he'd earn a starting job. I don't think he would earn the starting job.
No. Well, it all depends on how he approaches it. Obviously, we know, like you said, with the Raiders, he didn't, you know, learn the playbook. Would he do exactly the same thing with the XFL? It's like, I'm just here for some money and that's it. I'm not here to learn your stupid playbook. I'm just here to, you know, throw a pigskin and just,
yeah,
you know,
kind of like an Aaron Brooks, right? I'm just going to rely on my raw talent. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to say about the XFL in week two?
Pretty much people who are listening to this, don't shoot it down. Stop comparing it to the NFL because a lot of people are doing that. Stop comparing it to the NFL. It's not the NFL. It's a completely different league. It's not the AAF. It is a brand new league, and it's an exciting league. Just all I'm asking is for you just to give it a chance.
I think so. I think the people that aren't giving it a chance haven't even given it a chance. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're, oh, it's whatever. You're not allowed to judge unless you've given it a chance. And the chance that you have to give it isn't over yet. I mean, you can't choose one game one week. You've got to give it enough time to really sink in. And you know, at the end of the day, if there's enough fans to carry it through its origin, then it'll keep growing and growing and growing. I think that's the other thing. People just need to learn it. All right, so in the meantime, I'm going to say that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. That is at Dome Patrol what are we, Don't Patrol US and Don't Patrol UK.
That's it.
Like us on Facebook to watch our live broadcast. You can subscribe on YouTube to watch or to listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to don'tpatrolpodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, XFL donkeys.
Sell out with me, oh yeah. Sell out with me tonight. The record company's gonna give me lots of money and everything's gonna be alright. And everything's gonna be fast food all my life.